You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for calling us into the kingdom for such a time as this. There's no mistake. It's not by accident. You knew exactly what this environment, the environment that we're in, and we realize, Lord Jesus, that if you are for us, who can be against us? Greater are you in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have chosen us to live in this at this particular time. We're not going to be dismayed. We're not going to be discouraged. We're not going to be affected. We will not submit to this environment, to this world, or whatever it has to offer. But Lord God, we will continue to serve you, to praise you, to honor you, and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the most vulnerable people at times of war are civilians. Worse yet is civilians that don't even know there's a war going on. I mean, they're like sitting ducks. We better know. I mean, if anything, after what just happened in Paris, we should have gotten the clue at 9/11, but we forgot. I don't know what happened. Like we're suffering from collective amnesia. I mean, this didn't go away. It just kind of, I mean, it continued. So we thought, well, now Bin Laden is dead. So been there, done that. Oh, yeah, right. See, we're dealing with a spiritual reality that will not go away. And what we don't realize is that we, as Christians, are at war, and we better not rely on our governments or our military to take care of a spiritual problem. You know, this is on our, God dropped this on our lap, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the only ones that have the weapons that can fight this war and win this war. Not just fight it, but win this war. Amen? So we better wake up and smell the cappuccino, because this is pretty serious stuff. Anyway, this is not my subject. I am not running for office. I will not talk about politics. I just did, but let's go on to something else. I want us to go to Ezekiel 47:3, s'il vous plaît. Very familiar passage of scripture. I think it's pretty cool because it's representative of most of our Christian walk, you know, how we start in our Christian walk in following Jesus. It says here that when the man, well, I believe it was an angel, went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Now, we're going into, you know, we're in fall and we're going into winter, but you remember like in July and August when it was nice and hot? You know, there is nothing more refreshing than putting your feet in water up to your ankles. It's just your ankles, but feel like your whole body is being refreshed, right? All right? Well, that's all nice and wonderful. The problem is we can't stay there forever. See, many people in their Christian walk, they want to follow Jesus up to a point, but no further. Okay, you know, I'm born again. I'm saved. I actually go to church, but you know, don't ask me too much beyond that. For example, they'll never get involved in their church. Sometimes they don't participate. They don't believe in tithing. You know, or sometimes they don't even want to get baptized. You know, and you talk, you know, you offer to pray for them, lay hands on them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ah, I can do without that. Well, that's not right. You know, you can't see Jesus gave it all. Thank God he didn't reconsider everything at Gethsemane and say, well, let me really think about this a little bit more. Not my will, he said, but thy will be done. I wish we all had that kind of attitude. Not my will, but thy will be done. So anyway, this continues, you know, I mean, up to the ankles is nice, but then he's got to go to where he's got water up to his knees, then eventually up to his waist. Well, now we're getting serious. When it gets up to your waist and the water is kind of cold, I don't know if you've ever done that, but boy, it kind of, you know, you say, whoa, this is serious now. You really feel, you're not refreshed anymore. You actually feel cold. But even that is not enough. He's asked to go even further. And it says, again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. In other words, you lost control. Well, how many humans do we have in this place this morning? We are people that love to be in control. We want to have, I want to have all my ducks in a row. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what kind of commitment I'm making here. Well, the whole idea of walking with Christ and walking by the Spirit is that you have no clue where he's going to take you. The whole idea is for you to lose control. It's for you to give up every measure of control that you thought you had and just totally rely on him. That's where a lot of people fail the test, because they've accepted Jesus just as their Savior but never considered that he wants to be Lord. See, Lord, that means that he is in charge. That means that you're no longer holding the reel, but he is. That means we trust him. Amen. So he's asked to go, you know, to go to a place where he totally relies on God. And that's, you know, that's my introduction this morning. I want us to go to Luke chapter 5. It's a fishing story. Do you like fishing stories? Where's my brother that caught that big, huge? I didn't even know that was you. Your pastor showed me the picture. I said, man, that's a good-looking fellow with a good-looking fish. But then I found out that you attend this church. Praise God, you did a good job. And he did, wait a minute, he did that with a rubber worm. You know, I thought fish were smart, but apparently. It says here, verse 3, that Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. By the way, I don't believe that this was by accident. I believe this was a determined choice. Just like when Jesus came into your life, it was not by accident. You didn't just win the lottery. Jesus pursued you, ran after you, came and sought you out, and he wanted to come into your life and into your heart. Amen? So he gets into Simon's boat, and he asks him to put out a little. Say a little. Just like Ezekiel with water up to his ankles, we can all handle a little. Amen? Put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes. But let me tell you, in all my years of fishing with Pastor Stephen Johnson, I learned many things, but one I learned really quick is that if you want the big tuna, you're never going to catch them right there at the pier. You got to go way out. Sometimes we would go all the way to, you know, off the coast of Mexico because the water was warmer, but that's where the tuna go. They don't ever come near the shore. How many of you want the big blessings of God? Man, mackerels are nice, but the tuna, wow. Little blessings are okay, but boy, I want the big blessings. If I understand John 10:10 correctly, I believe that Jesus wants us to enjoy the big blessings that he has for us. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So anyway, you know, he's out there, and I believe that Simon is very content to just have helped the preacher out. See, maybe some of you have that, and that's honorable. It's good to help the preacher. Oh, yeah. Amen. But see, there's more to it. There's more. See, some of us, we content to just serve Jesus, and it's very honorable, but Jesus wants more. He didn't just want to use Peter's boat. His intention for choosing Peter was he could have used any boat. He chooses that boat because he wants to specifically bless Peter, just like Jesus wants to bless you today. You may be satisfied just serving him. He wants to bless you. Tell the person next to you, Jesus wants to bless me. You know that Jesus is trying to find ways to bless us? But there are certain things that we need to... See, first of all, we need to want to be blessed. I used to think, well, who would be stupid enough not wanting to be blessed? Well, I found out there's people that just want to be miserable. They just feel very at ease assuming the role of a victim. You know, I was born on the wrong side of the track, or in the wrong culture, or, you know, with the wrong color of skin. So therefore, you know, this is the way, you know, the dice rolls. Well, so what do we do with being a new creation? With old things, old cultures, old whatever, that would keep us from launching out. What about thinking about that? See, there's a condition for things to become new in Christ. You know what that is? Is that the old things have to pass away. A lot of people want the new thing, but they're not willing to give up on the old. Hello? You know, I mean, Josette's not here, so I can say it. I mean, she knows, but she doesn't want me to talk about it. But, you know, there were some other girls before I met Josette. But, you know, she somehow, you know, she's not that liberal to where she would have accepted me to keep all my old girlfriends once I married her. All things, before they could become new, I had to forget the former things. You understand that? I don't know why we think that it's different with our walk with Jesus. Hello? Anyway, now Jesus says in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And boy, I tell you, not only that did Peter get blessed beyond his wildest expectation, because you did read the story. They had fished all night, caught nothing. They had washed their nets. They had punched their cards. They were ready to stop at McDonald's, you know, for, you know, McMuffin and sausage and eggs and go to Mama. They were done. Now he is blessed in such a wonderful way. But not even just a personal blessing, but he has to call his partners in to help him, and they get blessed too, because they had to use the other boats as well. Amen? You know, God wants to bless you in such a way that you won't even know what to do with so much blessing, where you'll have to start looking around for ways to bless other people. Amen. See, I'm sometimes I get See, I didn't go look for these kids in Madagascar. I gave a certain amount of money because, you know Jeff Hall, don't you? Jeff Hall, that guy, he got me into more trouble. But he decided he was gonna give one amount for the next few months to feed these kids. The only reason I started feeding them is because I didn't want to be left out. I didn't want to look like some cheapskate. So I said I'll do the same. All right, and I thought I was done. That was 9 years ago, and now we got about 120 of them. I did not go look for them. I did not ask for their assignment. But now I'm not stuck. But I feel that I have a responsibility. But it is the hardest thing I've ever done is to be able to keep those kids fed. I am amazed at how little, we put a basket in every church that we ever go. You wouldn't believe. There could be 500 people and sometimes we end up with $8 in the basket. And I say, oh my God, we need to teach Christianity 101. But I understand that some people don't have the money. I get that. But wouldn't it be nice if we had so much money that we had this need for a motorcycle for this Pastor Talib that you saw in the pictures. Somebody came in on a Sunday morning. First church I visited, I mentioned the need. Those people say, hey! We have $1,500 that we had no idea. We know we had to give it for something. We didn't know for what. So now we know. So they came to see me afterwards, and they had $1,500. That's so neat. I wish I had $1,500 I could just give. See, but that should not be an isolated event. We need to all be blessed to the extent where we can do that. Money is not a problem. We have a need? All right. How many zeros do you want beyond, behind that thing on the check? Amen. There's one scripture that's never come to pass. The wealth of the wicked, yes, it's been stored up. But it doesn't do me any good for it to be stored up. I want to be released. I want to make a withdrawal on that. Hello? We need to launch out. And it may mean something, different for everybody. Like I was saying, somebody that may be new in Christ, maybe the next step is just saying, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to follow Jesus in water baptism. Okay? It may be getting involved in a church. Maybe you can correct me, but I have not found in all of the Bible the ministry of pew warmer. There ain't no such thing. All kinds of ministries, all kinds of things that we can do, but that one is not in there. So you may want to look for something else. I'm just saying, okay? It may be as simple as, and see, I didn't understand this for many years. I didn't think that tithing was something really that important in the New Testament. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I one day somebody preached a message and they only said one thing, but it was by the Holy Ghost. He said, "Won't you try me? Won't you test me in this?" Because I had tried other things. I had tried withholding my tithe, and boy, would that! I didn't like where that got me because I couldn't pay my bills. So it was like God said, okay, well, obviously this hasn't worked, so you may just want to try something else. We started tithing. Now, that was a few years ago, but we never looked back. Because you know why? It works. If God tells you to do something, it works. Amen. Jesus told Peter to launch out. It worked. It paid off. Amen. Now, there are things that could keep us from launching out. I call those moorings. You know what I'm saying when I say moorings? Moorings? M-O-O-R-I-N-G-S. You know, those are like, depending on the size of a boat or a ship, there may be a cable or maybe a rope, but it's whatever ties a ship to the pier, right? Well, I don't care how big of an engine you have and how much you rev it up, you ain't going nowhere unless you undo the moorings. The rich young ruler wanted to launch out with Jesus. But Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. Before you do full steam ahead, you may want to think about undoing this mooring. And what was that? His dependency on money. Jesus had no problem with money. Jesus had a problem, you know, I mean, he had no issue with this man having money. He did object to the fact that money had him. He said, you better cut that one loose. Judas never brought it. No, you know, Judas was supposed to become an apostle of the Lamb. That's a pretty cool assignment, I think. But you know, because he never could let go of his greed, in the end, kept him from going all the way. Remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife, what was her problem? Well, the problem was that she could not let go of the past. Her past, her immediate past, was Sodom. Now, that wasn't much to write home about, let me tell you. Sodom was a perverted, wicked city. She knew that, but that was her life. That's where she had spent the last few years. So why did she look back? It's a good question. She was told not to look back. Why did she look back? Because that somehow represented her life. Her past represented her life. There's a lot of people that go through even their Christian life, and something in the past has defined them. It could be a divorce. It could be a bankruptcy. It could be a traumatic, you know, a death. That somehow they never let go of, or even worse. Now this may concern you, somebody that they've never forgiven in the past. Well, you know, you're tied to the pier, you ain't going nowhere. Well, I can talk about blessings till I'm blue in the face. I can lay hands on you, pour oil over your head. Ain't going to change anything in your life unless you're willing to let go of that and forgive. It just ain't happening. Tell the person next to you, it ain't happening. Do it. It ain't happening. So she looked back. Now, why would she look back? Because she didn't have the faith to look ahead. She could not bring it. She thought, okay, this part of my life is over. Obviously, but she couldn't embrace the fact that God had a better life for her. I mean, living in Sodom couldn't have been that great. All of her friends must have been perverts. Right? But see, that's what she knew. Well, I guess I might as well just learn to live with it. Wait a minute. If it does not match with what the script that God has for you, the promises that God has for you, the ones about which he says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, my promises will never pass away. If it doesn't match up with that, then you got to cut it off. You got to let it go already. Amen. Amen. The second thing that would keep us from launching out is denial. why would I have to launch out when I think I'm doing good? See, doing good is all relative. According to what? What are you using as a reference? Hello? I mean, if you use for reference John 10:10, abundant life, and you're somewhere far away, like this is like a distant star in the universe, whoo, abundant life, wow, twinkle, twinkle, little star, but it's not in your wheelhouse. Listen, you have to reconsider. But you can't act like everything is okay. Amen? Bartimaeus, he could have just accepted the fact that he's blind. I mean, this is all, that's the heart of the cookie crumbles. But he didn't. He realized that Jesus wanted him to launch out, and he did. Thank God for that. Amen? See, some of us, we are so, we call it, so modest. We feel miserable. Listen. Do you have a mirror in the bathroom at your house? You know, when it's just us and the guy that's in the reflection there, we know. We're pretty honest with ourselves. But you know, we need to be honest all the time because God sees us all the time, whether we look in the mirror or not. But then we act. We know we come in on a nice Sunday morning like this, and we don't want to bother our brothers and sisters with our problems. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Well, inside, they're just dying. Listen, you cannot act like you're on the love boat while all the time you're on the Titanic. You know what I'm saying? You have to be sincere. God loves nothing better than honesty and sincerity. He already knows. And you know, this wonderful thing we call the local church was designed, custom made to handle this. Now, I'm not advocating that you go grab the first person, you know, that you meet in the lobby. You know, talk to somebody that actually cares about you, loves you, is not going to put it on Facebook tomorrow. All right? But please, you know, tell somebody in the church, you know, listen, I need some help here. But as long as we're in denial, we'll never launch out into what God has for us. This third one is broken hearts. You know, some disappointment, sometimes it's hope deferred. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, we expected something. We prayed about a certain thing, but it didn't happen. At least it didn't happen when we thought it was supposed to happen. And we like, okay. And there's something broken inside. Well, you know, if you have a big hole in the hull of a ship, I'm just saying you may not launch out, not just now. Hello? Yeah, I've known people that went on a mission field with a broken heart, with issues, unbelievable emotional issues, and they thought somehow if they get on a mission field, everything was going to be okay. Well, I know a couple that we had to send back and put in psychiatric hospitals, two girls, separate occasions. Why? Because it doesn't get fixed. You launch out with a broken ship, guess what? You're going to sink. But Jesus is the one that heals. He was anointed, Luke 4. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. He'll fix you. Hello? Number 4, I don't know if you're ready for this one. Don't be stupid. You know, it's Einstein said, I love Einstein. You know, I honestly believe that he was a believer. But he said the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Right. Well, you know, if something just like me not tithing, you know, I mean, I should have realized this is not working. So maybe I should try something else, right? Well, Liz Taylor, I think she was married, not Liz Taylor, okay, so chill out. Liz Taylor, she married 7 times, I believe. And every time when she met the new candidate, she said, okay, this is it. He is the one. He's my knight in a shiny armor. And, you know, the same thing happened again. I guess she never figured out that the problem wasn't maybe the candidate, but it was her. But she kept on trying. Listen, if you've been doing the same thing for 25 years and it ain't working, I'm just saying, you may want to try something else. Yeah. Amen? Amen? If griping about things has not worked, you may try something else. You complaining about this sickness or disease or whatever that you have, if it ain't working, maybe you should try something else. You know, in John 21, we don't have time to go there, but apparently the disciples were fishing, and they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Repeatedly, Jesus comes in and he says, I'm just saying, just why don't you try throwing the net on the right side of the boat? Now, in the natural, if there's no fish on the left, there ain't no fish on the right. But see, it's just there's a wrong side, and then there's a right side. It has nothing to do with being liberal or conservative. It has to do with wrong and right. Okay? Praise God. And then number five, if God, now this is a very important, if God tells you it's time to launch out, don't launch out on your own initiative. That is always a catastrophe. There's people that launch out into ministry, but either they're not called to that ministry or it's not the time for them to launch out. They end up being casualties. You want to launch out when God tells you to launch out. Amen? And you got to trust him. There was a Frenchman by the name of Jean-François Gravelet. Try to say that fast three times. Forget it. No. Jean-François Gravelet. In 1859, he was a tightrope walker. And he decided to cross Niagara Falls. Yeah, I know you guys have been there. Have you been there? Whew. Yeah, you got to see Niagara Falls once. I mean, it's very impressive, but he decided he was going to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he did. Crowds were there, the media was there, they didn't have cameras, you know, but I mean, they were there to report the event. He went across, came back, no problem. Then he takes a wheelbarrow, puts it in front of him on that cable, and he crosses Niagara Falls and comes back with that wheelbarrow. I mean, people went crazy. Then, that wasn't enough. He comes back and he says, okay, before I go again, I want to be blindfolded and I'm going to cross it again. He crosses the thing blindfolded, comes back. I mean, that was all the crowd could handle. But then they went very silent. You know why? Because he said, okay, I'm going to go across one more time. But I need one volunteer to climb on my back, and we're going to cross together. You know that he did, there were thousands of people there. He did not find one volunteer. Now, did they know that he was capable of doing this? Did they know that he was willing to do it? The problem was they didn't trust him enough. Do we trust God enough to just say, hey, when you climb on somebody's back in that kind of situation, you better depend on him. Right. Because there ain't a thing you can do to change the course of events if things go bad. And that's exactly how God wants us to follow him. He can't be trusted. I mean, we can sing, God is good. And he's good all the time. Oh, we can sing that till the cows come home, whatever that means. But But you know, it does not, you know, there's got to be a point where we actually say what we mean and we mean what we say. Do we really, when it's all said and done, do we really trust God? When he tells us it's time to launch out, I mean, are we ready to trust him? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these wonderful men and women. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we all different. We're in different situations. We may have different things that we need to deal with, like certain things that attach us to whatever, to memories, to habits, to different things. Maybe we need to forgive today. Lord God, there are so many things that. But bottom line is, you want us to go further. You do not want us to stay where it's secure. You have not, absolutely not, given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And this morning, Lord God, maybe this is not a. For some that you're calling maybe into a certain ministry. Maybe this is not the day for them to actually launch out, but at least it's a time to say yes. Like Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. I don't know what you're going to do, but here I am. Send me. So that at some point in time, we have already given our agreement. We've already signed the contract, and we say, Lord, whenever you want, I'm ready to go. See, I see Jonathan and his armor bearer. I love the attitude of the armor bearer. He told Jonathan, you just don't worry about anything that goes on behind you. I'll handle it. You just go and do what is in your heart, and I will follow. Lord God, we want to have that same attitude and say, Lord God, if you are for us, who can be against us? If you tell us to advance, I thank you for all the wonderful, collectively as this church, I have to say this. But you know, this, whatever I said also applies to us collectively as a church. Sometimes we reach a certain plateau and we say, okay, well, it took a lot of effort to get to where we are today. And then God comes in and he says, fine, wonderful. But you know what? You have to go even further. You have to climb even higher. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church. I thank you that the vision, the destiny that this church is still ahead. Thank God for everything that has been accomplished, all the road that has been traveled, the accomplishments. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have more for this church. And I thank you that you have men and women here that are willing to engage, participate, invest, and help along, Lord God, as the ship of this vision advances into the open sea. And I thank you for new vistas, new horizons being opened up. Lord God, as they progress, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that nothing can stop them. They will not look to the left nor to the right. They will not submit to the environment, to the world, to the politically correct pressures. But in Jesus' name, they will continue to advance because you have called them into the kingdom for such a time as this. They will make a huge difference, not just in this city, not just in this region, but Lord God, in this entire region, this state, this country, and around the world. We call it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Call you abundantly blessed. You are blessed, and I thank you for being my friend.